Some of you here want to be anonymous. It's your goal to be anonymous. You work hard at anonymity. It's an uncomfortable feeling when we're called out and we want to be anonymous. How about it?
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, welcome to Straight Talk. This is Mark Jobe. Great to be with you once again on this program. We have come out with an app, a smartphone app that you can download. And if you download this app called Straight Talk with Mark Jobe, you'll be able to have access to all of the messages that you hear on this program. And if you miss a program, you can scroll back, go into our history, listen to programs maybe from several weeks ago. Very easy, very convenient. You will also have a Bible reading plan. There's some resources, some updates. We want to make all these things available at one spot. And you can carry it with you if you're traveling to another city, if you're sitting waiting in line somewhere. Not if you're driving. Remember that. Not if you're driving. But anywhere else, you can just access it and listen to it. So that is Straight Talk with Mark Jobe. And you can download this app at the App Store or at Google Play or at iTunes, whatever is easiest for you. I hope you take advantage of this and share it with a friend. There may be some people that can't listen to the radio program, but would be able to really enjoy the resources of this Straight Talk app. Let's get ready for today's program.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We will be continuing with the second half of Pastor Mark's message called Moving Beyond Your Challenge tonight, which is from Pastor Mark's new series called Chain Reaction, Setting Change in Motion. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
I don't know what you have to overcome to see God clearly, but I do know that at times God is saying, climb up, get over your issue. Climb up the sycamore tree. Get a better view of who God really is. Stop standing back with a fuzzy, obscure view of Jesus. Get into a place where you can see him better, understand him clearer, see the color of his eyes, understand who he is. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus had done. He climbed a sycamore tree to overcome his challenges so that he could have a better view of Jesus. But not only if you're going to set change in motion in your heart, do you have to climb up. But the second thing that you need to do is you need to come down. Because coming down is responding to the invitation that invades your personal space. Notice what it says in verse 5. Zacchaeus is up in the sycamore tree. Jesus is walking through Jericho. The Bible says that as Jesus was walking, suddenly he stopped. And he looks up and sees Zacchaeus in the tree. And it says, and when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Now, something strikes me about this because although Zacchaeus did not know Jesus, Jesus knew Zacchaeus and knew his name. Some of you here want to be anonymous. It's your goal to be anonymous. You work hard at anonymity. Some of you come to this place and you come late, sit in the back, leave during the last song. You're checking things out, but you really don't want anybody to get involved in your life. You don't want anybody to ask questions. You don't want to fill out your name and information in case someone may call you up or send you an email. You want to explore things at a distance. You want to be anonymous, and it's a uncomfortable feeling when our anonymity is disclosed and it evaporates. It's an uncomfortable feeling when we're called out and we want to be anonymous. How about it? That's why, by the way, we don't ask visitors to stand. Because no visitor wants to stand in front of a bunch of people. You just want to check things out. I remember going to a church one time and, you know, if I have a Sunday off, I like to go visit. And I want to sit in the back. I don't want necessarily... And I visited a church and I was sitting in the back. I came in late. I wanted to be anonymous. I sat way in the back, kind of hidden there. And the guy that got up to preach, and I didn't even know this guy, got up to preach. And when as he started to preach, he said, "By the way, Mark Cho." Like, ah. And he said, "I have a word for you." I'm like, "Oh no. Stand up, please." It's like, "Hey, no, I want to be anonymous. Don't call me out. I don't even know these people. Now you're calling me out of my anonymity." I want you to know something today. To me, you may be anonymous, a face in a crowd, someone that I don't know, I've never met. To most of the people in this auditorium, maybe your anonymity has worked. Maybe you've cloaked yourself in an invisibility and you're another face in the crowd. But can I tell you this? You're not anonymous to God. He knows your name and he knows your story and he knows your tears and he knows your mindset. He knows you before you were born. He was there when you breathed your first breath. He's seen you as you've struggled, as you've had victories, as you had disappointments, when you've walked away, when you've come back, when you've prayed. He knows the deepest longings of your heart. He knows the desires of your soul. He's seen you at your worst. He's seen you at your best. There is no anonymity in the presence of the Almighty God because he knows you well. So although Zacchaeus did not know Jesus, when Jesus stopped, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he said, "Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to your house today." That's pretty forward. There's two things that Jesus did. He said his name. The name Zacchaeus means pure one, which is far from where Zacchaeus was. Sometimes God speaks out what is before it is. And the second thing he did was he shocked Zacchaeus, who knew he was a corrupt conniver, and said, "I want to go to your house today. I know you by name, and I'm not afraid of your messes." You see, I believe that there's a lot of people that look at your life and you know yourself best. You know your failure. You know the messes in your life. You know the disappointments, the sins. You know all the garbage and the gook better than anybody else knows. And sometimes you look at God and you think, "God, if you just knew all this stuff, I can't even start to get close to you, God, because there's so much junk in my soul." Can I tell you something today? God is not afraid of your junk, of your messes, of your garbage. He has never been afraid of our garbage. He has never been afraid of our messes. God doesn't walk away from our messes with disgust, shaking his head. God is a God that walks in the middle of our messes. He steps into our chaos. He's not afraid of our sinful condition. In fact, Jesus, they called him a friend of what? Of sinners. Jesus says, "I know exactly who you are. Zacchaeus is your name. You cheat people for a living. You're disgusting to the people of Israel. You lie all the time. You rob the widows. You take from the poor. You're greedy. You're materialistic. You're cold. You're heartless. But I want to go to your house to eat today." Wow. He's not afraid of us. And the Bible says that Zacchaeus immediately came down and that Jesus started going to his house. And I want you to notice that the people, it says in verse 7, so he came down and at once and welcomed him gladly. In verse 7 says, all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." He was invading his personal space. Can I say this, and I hope you hear me well today. I believe that I want to be a pastor of a church that always has messes at the edges. Always. You know why? Because messes at the edges means that we have not been that not everybody has been so Christianized for so long that we're not reaching out to people that are in the middle of their messes. God forbid that we ever be a church that's not reaching out to everybody and anybody that walks through these doors, no matter who they are, how long they've been there, where they've come from, what they look like, or what has been their story. I believe that Jesus is always in the middle of people's messes. I've had people come up to me and say, "Pastor, the person sitting next to me had alcohol in their breath. And they came to church." You know what I say? Thank God they're here. Well, thank God they're here in the house of God. If they got a problem with alcoholism, no better place than to hear hope and transformation than here. I had a woman come up to me a while back and she said, "Pastor, you know, I saw another lady in the church and someone needs to talk to her because her skirt was..." You let people in church like with a skirt like that. I took her aside and said, "What you don't know," because the woman that you pointed to, "what you don't know is she's just been coming for a short time. She was raped repeatedly by her stepfather. She had a problem with drugs. She's been with any man that would ever show her any kind of affection. She was probably in a bar last night, but by God's grace and God's goodness, she's being drawn to his presence. And man, she'll have time to get dignified and set up and dress right, but praise God, she's in the house of the living God. This is where people find hope and healing and transformation. This is where she needs to be, in the house of the Most High God. If not here, then where will people go?" Zacchaeus was a sinner, and Jesus walked right into his house without batting an eye. And people murmured and said, "Hey, how come he's hanging out with sinners?" The Church of the Living God is a hospital. It's a rescue center. It's a place of hope. It's a place where people that have been out there a long time, and if there's a sense of love and healing and hope, it'll draw people that their last place of healing and hope, last place of any kind of simmer of hope in their life, is the Church of the Living God. And if the church rejects them, if they're cast away by the church, if there is no hope in God, then where in the world will there be hope?
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Moving Beyond Your Challenge, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Chain Reaction, Setting Change in Motion. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Moving Beyond Your Challenge.
Paul reminds the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 30. He says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called." Hey, have you forgotten who you were when God called you? Have you forgotten how bad it was in your life when God called you? Hey, have you been saved so long that you can't remember the mess that you were in? Have you been in Christ so long that you now look at someone else and say, "How could they be like that?" Well, that was you 10 years ago. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten the stench of sin? Have you forgotten the struggles that you have? Have you forgotten how other people reached out to you in love and compassion when you were a mess and foul-mouthed and had no idea of what you're doing, and when you were a burden to people, but people reached out and loved you to Jesus and told you that you had hope? Do you remember who you were before? Because what Paul says is, hey, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. A lot of us were dummies. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Thank you that you chose me, God, among the foolish things of the world. And God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly things of the world and the things that are despised and the things that are nothing or the things that are not to nullify those things that are, that no flesh should boast before him. So that we say, God, I am who I am because of you. Not, God, you're probably happy I'm on your team, aren't you? No. God chose us, cleansed us, washed us, purified us, and brought us to himself. And I believe that a lot of people are spectators. And what God was telling Zacchaeus was this: Zacchaeus, you've watched me from a distance. Now I want to get personal. I want to go to your house. I want to move beyond just being an observer. I want to make it personal. Listen to me well. Some of you have observed Christ for some years. You've been a sympathizer of Christianity. You've listened to Christian radio incognito. You've watched messages. You have a Bible on your desk. You are attracted to Christianity, but you've always been a seeker. You've never crossed the line of being a follower. If you were dating a guy as long as you've been observing Christ, come on now. Hey, after 5 years of dating, it's like, are we in or are we out? You gonna marry me or just date me forever? You know, you gonna choose or not? Because there comes a point where you say, okay, all right, I think we know each other now. Is this gonna go to the next level or not? Hello? And with God, it's the same way. Okay, you've observed, you've watched, you've had the Bible, you've listened a little bit, and God says, I've been okay with that. You're learning, you're getting to know me. But there comes a time when God says, Zacchaeus, come down. Now I'm going to your house. Are you going to open up the door and make this a little bit more personal? Because I want to take it to the next level. I don't want you just to be in the sycamore tree. I want to be in your house. Are you going to just be a seeker or are you going to be a follower? The day comes that we have to decide, seeker or follower. So not only climb up, come down, and lastly, Jesus is in the house of Zacchaeus with a crowd around them. People on the outside are murmuring and complaining that Jesus is in the house of a sinner. And the Bible tells us in verse 8, but Zacchaeus, after dialoguing and talking with Jesus, it says he stood up. So he climbed up. He came down, and now he stood up. He's getting his exercise. And he said, Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. What had just happened? Zacchaeus had experienced repentance. See, he finally understood the message of the cross of Jesus. He finally understood that Jesus was truly the Savior. He finally understood that he needed to surrender and become a follower of Christ. And when he understood the message, he was willing to repent. Repentance at its heart is turning away from what I'm doing and following another way, even though it may be difficult to leave behind the way that I was going. At the heart of Christianity is the concept of repentance. At the heart of following Jesus is repentance. And let me be clear about this. You come to God just the way you are. If you walked in today, and you spent all last week snorting lines of cocaine, partying with so many people that you don't even know their names, having sexual encounters and just living a crazy life where you come in today still reeking of smoke reefer with some mollies in your pocket, and you walk in today and you hear the message of the cross and God says, come. And you look at yourself and say, no, how could I come? I need to clean myself up. I need to get right. I need to change. I need to make myself presentable to God. And then finally I can come to God. It doesn't work that way. You come to God the way you are, exactly the way you are. That's always been the message of the cross. There is no cleanup period of time to make yourself presentable to God. But let me be clear about this. But you don't leave the way you are. In other words, when you come to God, you come the way you are. But at the foot of the cross, there's repentance. Repentance says, I may have come this way, but I am willing to give up that which has kept me away from God. That which I have put before God, that which I have made my God, I'm willing to release it and give it up to follow the way of Jesus, which is higher than the way that I've been following. I choose to follow him. That's repentance. Zacchaeus, money was his God. Cheating was his way of living. And when he finally understood, he came to Christ the way he was, but when he finally understood it, he was willing to say, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody, I'll give them four times as much as what I cheated them out of. That's repentance, because money was his God, and he finally decided, Jesus, you will be my God now. And so I give up the little God that I've been serving in order that I can follow the big God that has a call upon my life. I believe it set in motion a chain reaction. Imagine Zacchaeus going to the widow that he is with four kids that he's swindled out of her savings and money. With his aggressive, blunt, the Roman soldiers will be here if you don't pay up. And then she hears a knock at the door. Looks through the peephole and it's Zacchaeus. She's like, no way, that swindler, little short swindler's here again. Finally, when she opens the door and says, what do you want? You want to rob the last piece of bread I have for my children? And he extends a bag of gold and says, you know what I stole, took from you? I give you back four times more. Now, you're not going to tell me that he didn't tell her about Jesus in that process, because she's going to say, why? What's gone on with you? And he would share Jesus. And I believe it's a chain reaction of people that are affected by our repentance. Are you tracking with me? And then Jesus said these iconic words. He says, today, salvation has come to this house. Why had it come? Because Zacchaeus believed and repented, and salvation was released into his house. Because this man too is a son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith, and so he became a son of Abraham when he believed. We are all sons and daughters of Abraham when we believe, when we choose to believe like Abraham believed. And then he says this sentence. He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Oh, I wish I could preach it. As I close our time together, listen, what I wish I could help you understand is that the heart of the shepherd has gone out looking for those that are far from him. Not to say, oh, how could you, to reject you or to put you down. But the heart of the Father has gone out to seek those that are lost. The Spirit of God has gone out to say, you're far from me, but I've come looking for you. I'm seeking for you, yeah, whose heart is far from me. I'm looking for you in your mess, because your mess doesn't scare me. And I'm calling you to follow my ways, to be my disciple, to choose another life. The Bible calls it being born again, becoming a new creation.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Chain Reaction, Setting Change in Motion. And tonight was the second half of his message called Moving Beyond Your Challenge. Join us again tomorrow for part two, Breaking Through Your Ceiling. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for us here at Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark and our team, thank you so much for listening. Have a great night, and God bless.